doing a very special dirt show today. We have Chris Pavlovsky, who is the founder of Rumble. Rumble is the answer to censorship that's going on YouTube and Google and Facebook and Twitter. Rumble doesn't censor. It allows people to use the platform to promote free speech in the marketplace of ideas. You'll hear why from the founder of Rumble on The Dirt Show. On The Dirt Show, we love everybody who defends and expands and supports the First Amendment and freedom of speech, whether it's the First Amendment technically or the spirit and culture of the First Amendment. And today we have a guest who's doing just that. He's fighting back against those who would repress our right to listen, to read, to see, to hear, and to be in the open marketplace of ideas. My guest today is Chris Pavlovsky, who is the founder of Rumble. I mean, Rumble is the current manifestation of pamphlets like Common Sense that were being handed out by Tom Paine in the run-up to the revolution. He is the modern-day challenger of the kind of accepted and conventional media control. And he is a man who is challenging YouTube and challenging Google and challenging platforms that censor and that deny us the right to make up our own mind. So it's a great pleasure for me to introduce and look forward to a conversation with the founder of Rumble. Chris, welcome to The Dirt Show.
Alan, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be on.
So tell me how you're a guy who's been active in the internet and you've been on the forefront of looking at different media. How did you come to found Rumble?
So it's a long story. I've actually been in the internet space for 2 decades now, so 20 years. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, I started making websites in my parents' basement in the video space, ironically. And you know, I would say around 2006, when Google purchased YouTube, it was a tectonic shift in the industry for the video space. And, you know, I couldn't really compete after that point, after all the stuff that happened. And we'll kind of get into that. But that's kind of how I started in the internet space. But fast forward to 2013 is when I started Rumble. And when I started Rumble, the idea was what was happening on the internet is that, like, when you think about YouTube in 2007, 2008, and you look at the homepage of YouTube, this is after Google acquired them, the number one video on the platform was videos like Charlie Bit My Finger, funny home videos, stuff that you and me create at home with our families. And that was, you know, pervasive through the entire platform. That was a content that was doing really, really well. And you fast forward to 2013, and all of a sudden, the small creator that was creating that home-based content no longer had a voice anymore. You couldn't find it on the homepage anymore. It was all big brand names, big media companies, huge influencers, you know, icons that were getting all the exposure on YouTube. And the little guy was...
You think that was a function of YouTube being bought by Google?
It could be. I can't say for sure what the function of why that exactly happened, but I would say it's more of a function of revenue for them. They're probably thinking, you know, the home creator is not as safe as the big brands and the media companies and the icons. They can bring in bigger dollars. They can use these influencers to promote their platform. So that I would say it's more so around there. But, you know, what I do... Go ahead.
And has other platforms like TikTok taking over the pets and the, you know, Charlie Bit My whatever, have they taken that function over a lot or?
No, the content's still there on YouTube. The difference is that in 2013, it just got silenced. It got brought to the back. Uh-huh. The little creator no longer had the voice, was not getting that distribution anymore. And they weren't able to monetize anymore. So that's why we started Rumble in 2013 to kind of really protect that creator and stop that censorship that was happening on the small creator for their content and giving like a real equal and fair distribution to the community for all types of creators. Whether you're a huge influencer or whether you're a small creator, we wanted to make sure that like we had a platform that gives, you know, equal love to both, you know, the people filming their dogs and cats to people that are influencers.
And not just equal love.
but one thing.
You say equal love, but it's really more important to give platforms to people who are involved in the political dialogue. Now, you're not, Rumble is not the only competitor. There are others. And so I'm going to ask you the question, you know, every year on Passover, Jews have a famous prayer that's well known around the world. It's called Manashtana. Why is this night different from every other night? So I'm going to ask you the question, why is Rumble different from every other platform that's now trying to compete with Google and the big guys, Facebook, etc.?
So the main differentiator is censorship. We're not going to censor content that cute dogs and puppies. We're not going to censor that. We're also not going to censor political debate. We're not going to censor scientific debate. Can you imagine we've come to a time in the world where censoring scientific debate is something that is pervasive in society now? Like, that's crazy.
So you're okay.
It's like 400 years they were doing that. We shouldn't be doing that in the 21st century. Science itself is, you know, develops on the very debate, the very challenges.
Let me press you. So you're okay with a doctor getting on your channel wearing a white coat and a stethoscope around his neck and saying to people, look, don't take the vaccine. Don't trust government. I want you to drink this liquid, hydro, whatever, chloride, and I don't want you to wear masks and don't socially distance. This is all a myth. It's all fake. The scientists are fooling you. You're okay with that?
Well, me personally, are you asking? So personally, obviously, I don't agree with that. But I really think it's really important that that person, if you just silence that person from saying that, then no one's challenging him to say that he's wrong. I think that, you know, so, I think the best.
So how do you deal with the challenging? How do you deal with the challenging? You don't have a little thing on bottom saying we're putting this guy on, but he's dead wrong. You don't do that, right?
No, we're just a platform. We're not going to sit there. Okay. And be the of truth. No, that's not our job.
So if he does that, do you go out of your way to put on Dr. Fauci or somebody else who will tell the truth so that your viewers and listeners can hear both sides of the argument? Or will you let that doctor dominate the conversation and be believed by people in a way that would impose great dangers on gullible people and may cause the spread of the disease? How do you deal with the marketplace? How do you help create a marketplace of ideas on Rumble?
So we don't discriminate regardless of the creator. If Dr. Fauci wants to have an account on Rumble, we will put him up, like he can go up on Rumble and he can express his views and challenge all the other viewpoints. And I think that's really important. I think it's super important that he challenges those viewpoints as much as possible because
Let me continue to press you because I know my viewers and listeners would be pressing you if they had the opportunity to go and do that. And law professors use hypotheticals. This is only a quasi-hypothetical because it really occurred. So let's assume somebody gets on Rumble and says, there is this doctor and he's performing abortions. And by performing abortions, he's committing a Holocaust on unborn babies and he's violating God's law. And God has said you should kill him. His name is Dr. Slepian. I think that's the real name. And here's his address. He lives at 2478 Grove Street in Rochester, New York. And there is a gun store not far from that. And it will sell you a .32 Remington and you can get the bullets. And if you go at 2 o'clock in the morning, we've been surveilling Dr. Slepian, and we know that he turns off his lights and goes to sleep about 2:30 in the morning. So that's a perfect opportunity to go and kill him. Would you permit that on your show, on your platform?
We don't permit anything that promotes violence. We don't permit anything that's racist as well. We don't permit anything that is, there's our terms and conditions are a lot different than the platforms of the other free speech platforms. So I wouldn't say technically that we are a free speech to the actual definition, because we don't allow pornography and we do not allow nudity on our platform. We do have a little bit more stringent controls. Our terms are more similar to what YouTube was 10 years ago. I would say we're more in the spirit of free speech, but we do not allow violence or promoting of violence. onto our platform whatsoever.
So that's great. That's great. And what you're saying, basically, let me paraphrase and tell them if it's correct, that it isn't absolute. It's a matter of degree, but you err always on the side of promoting the spirit, the culture of the First Amendment, even though you're not bound by the First Amendment. When in doubt, let it out. Let it be there. But you can't use our platform for child pornography or pornography in general or violence or racism. All right, so let's test you on racism. What if somebody gets on the air and says, look, I have done some scientific experimentation. Oh, a perfect example. The woman who has now been nominated by President-elect Biden to be the Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Civil Rights Division, very important position, when she was a student at Harvard, and I remember this when it happened, when she was a student at Harvard, she said that blacks are superior to whites because the melanin in the body of black people lends to intelligence. You know, Farrakhan has made those crazy statements as well. If she wanted to come on your platform and talk about black superiority, would that violate your conditions regarding racism?
Yeah, any white supremacy, any supremacy of any sort is not.
So black supremacy as well as white supremacy would be banned. Who is sitting and making those judgments? How do you do it? I mean, with Google, it's an algorithm because it's such a large platform. You're a smaller platform, but you're getting bigger. And thank you for hosting my show, which has been terrific. It's gotten terrific response on Rumble. And anybody who's watching who hasn't yet subscribed on Rumble, shame on you. Subscribe on Rumble. We're above 50,000. Please keep it coming. But how do you do this? How do you apply your standards when you're not as big and don't use a kind of automatic algorithms?
So actually, you know, a lot of things, and this applies to the other platforms as well. It's not just AI. They get reports and flags. People send it in. Because we're a platform, we can't monitor everything that goes up onto our platform immediately. But when people report it, it goes to our moderation team, which is quite large. It represents probably 50% of our staff. So we have a very large moderation team that will apply these policies that we have. So I guess the major difference here between our platform and the other platforms when it comes to policies is that the goalposts have moved so much in the last 4 years. 10 years ago, it was like everybody, no one was complaining about free speech on YouTube or a censorship run. Well, they were complaining about censorship. Their videos were now not being shown up in the feeds anymore, and they weren't getting views anymore. So there was a type of censorship, but free speech wasn't the issue. It was I believe the masses are not interested in the garbage that, you know, everybody talks about. That's, no one wants to see white supremacy type stuff out there. So I don't believe that's the issue.
Well, you say no one wants to see it. White supremacists want to see it. They're looking for platforms that will promote their racism and their supremacy. And I think there are some people out there who think mistakenly that you would do it because you're a free speech platform. But you're saying, no, you have a group of people who do monitor. You instruct them to err on the side of permitting speech. When in doubt, do it. But if there are protests, you will moderate and consider what to do. Is it for you, is it an all or nothing? Either you take it down or you keep it up, or do you also have what some of the other platforms have, a little statement, we don't believe this, or be careful, etc.? Is it only yes or no? Yeah.
Yeah, our policies are outlined perfectly. Outline the best that we possibly can. And that is, you know, if you violate the policy, the video is removed. We don't do any fact checking. We're not trying to do any, we're an arbiter of truth. We'll never get into that. Like I said, we're in spirit as much as possible, as close to the First Amendment as possible.
Right. That's great. That's great. And do you cancel people as well as videos? Do you say you've now put up your third canceled video, you're off the site, don't ever try to get back on again?
So if you violate the policy multiple times, you'll be removed off the platform entirely. So if you contain and then obviously we have some zero tolerance policies where, like, if you start uploading porn, you're gone right away. Just not acceptable. Right.
Okay. So let's talk more generally now. We've talked about your platform. Let's talk more generally. You mentioned in the last few years, there has been more restrictions on free speech. I would say in the last 2 weeks, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen more censorship and more violations of the spirit of the First Amendment than in the previous years. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they've all gone after President Trump. Whatever you may think of President Trump, and my personal views are that his speech a week ago Wednesday was terrible. He shouldn't have done it. It was deeply distressing. But the idea of banning him from Twitter, the idea of banning him from all these other platforms, what do you make of that?
Yeah, what's happened, and I would say it's started happening about a year ago, more than ever. And a lot of these platforms started, what they started to do is they started to dictate or try to tell everybody what's right and what's wrong. They started fact-checking. They started in these fact-checking, you know, one day they said one thing works, next day they say the next thing works, and it kept moving. So what's happened in the last year, the way I see it, is that the attack on the First Amendment has been enormous. And the goalposts that these tech companies have kept moving over the last year has been crazy. You start with one, the way it works is that, the way I see it, in my opinion, is that you start with something small that everybody agrees with. And then you creep to the next thing. And then all of a sudden you creep to the next thing. And then a year later, and you're at a point where like, oh, wow. Like a year ago, you'd think that would be impossible to do. But now everybody's like, no, that's about right. And it kind of, the goalposts move with society in the last year in a way that I never thought I would ever see. Like I always see America as an exporter of the First Amendment, not debating the First Amendment, whether it should exist anymore and people should be silenced. And
this goes back,
unique thing.
This goes back a long time. When I used to teach law at Harvard, and I would have 150 students, and we would talk about the First Amendment and censorship. First question I would ask is, how many of you believe that there should be free speech and no censorship? Every hand goes up. And then I would say, but how many of you would make an exception for racist speech? Well, some hands go up. How many of you would make an exception for Holocaust denial? More hands go up. How many of you would make an exception for sexist speech? More hands go up. By the end of the 10-minute hands up, there's nothing left. Everybody wants an exception. Everybody wants free speech for me, but not for thee. Everybody knows what they think free speech is about, which is why I created what I call the First Amendment Club. You get to join the First Amendment Club only if you're prepared to advocate free speech for somebody, not who you dislike, but who you hate to the core of your existence, whether it be Nazis marching through Skokie or pornography or you name it, or in this case, of course, Donald Trump for many, many people. You have to be prepared to do the Voltaire thing. I oppose what you're saying, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Now, you're not quite going that far. You will impose some restrictions, but you're going to go further than anyone else. Now, I want to put one direct question. You talk about the First Amendment, but the First Amendment protects you, and it protects Google, and it protects YouTube, and it protects Facebook, and it protects Twitter. They have First Amendment rights. They're not the government. And so if the government were to tell them what they could put on and what they have to take off, other than obviously constitutionally unprotected speech like child pornography. But if they were to tell them any of that, they'd be violating the First Amendment. So how do you think about balancing your own First Amendment rights against my First Amendment rights not to be censored by you?
Yeah, so one, there's two things. The first component is, one is we created our terms 5, 6 years, 7 years ago when we started, and we haven't really moved the goalposts. We just stick. We don't keep adding things as society's changing and thinking that we need to vote. Mm-hmm. If we do that, then we fall into that trap you're just saying. Two, I think one of the other bigger issues are, obviously the first one is the big issue of the day and the big issue of the last, you know, year. But like the other issue is that censorship is happening on these algorithms of whose content's showing up in suggested videos. How easy is it to find your podcast? So you have to ask yourself this. How is it that a platform that is significantly smaller than YouTube is able to grow your channel and, you know, the Der Show faster than the largest platform in the world? That's a form of censorship that is no one's really talking about. And that's that's something that's, I think, is the bigger and larger issue that, you know, that needs to be unraveled. Why is that happening? That's the real, real censorship.
Well, that's a great question. And it's so subtle because it never would have occurred to me. I run the Dirt Show and I was disappointed with the numbers on YouTube. And then you suddenly put the show on and wow, everybody wants to subscribe. And I never understood why. Could you explain a little bit more how that dynamic occurs?
Well, definitely the way I see it, like this is all opinion right now. It's not, you know, I can't really speak on how things are happening at other companies. Right. Not my, you know, I know how things operate at Rumble. So the way things operate at Rumble is that there is no type of shadow banning. Your content is being delivered. Everybody that subscribes to your content is getting a notification that your video goes up the following day, or they can change the frequency however they like. And what I do know about YouTube is that they don't do that for every one of your subscribers. They get to pick and choose who's going to get that video, even though they subscribe. And it's not necessarily going to show up in their feed. Even though they subscribe. So there's a type of censorship happening there for sure. And now what's happening in their search engine and what's happening in their suggested videos is a whole different type of censorship. Whereas ours is just a simple search engine. There's no AI pushing certain creators over other creators. There's no tweaks to the algorithm. Whereas with, you know, YouTube and Google, I can't speak exactly how is happening. Although we did file a lawsuit against Google for self-preferencing YouTube in their search results, I can't really speak to like what they're doing. But clearly, you know, that evidence, the evidence of your show alone and every other person that's joined Rumble, like political leaders that have joined Rumble, and their growth has been just astounding. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know the answer to it, but I certainly think in my head, I know why, but I can't really say for sure.
But you're providing a great answer to a very difficult question. The question I ask all the time is, how do we fight back against Twitter? How do we fight back against YouTube? How do we fight back against Facebook? Because we're reluctant to bring censorship lawsuits against them. There is obviously antitrust violations, all of that. But the best way to fight back is the marketplace of ideas. And you've expanded that marketplace. And what you've done is provide an alternative. And people could say, look, if we don't like the way the algorithms or whatever are working on YouTube, hey, subscribe to the Dirt Show on Rumble. And you'll get to see it and you'll get to get the notices and all that. So you have really provided a tremendous service to the First Amendment indirectly by opening up the marketplace so that we can compete through you with the others you've created a bit of mousetrap. And so you've used the free market, you've used capitalism, you've used the open marketplace of ideas in lieu of the government. You've shown that we can fight back using their own tools against them. And I really want to congratulate you for that. That's a great contribution to the spirit and culture of the First Amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. That means a lot coming from you. Thank you.
No, but it's true. It's true. So, you know, we keep forgetting. We talk about McCarthyism a lot, and I think we're seeing a return to McCarthyism in many ways with cancel culture. I have a book on cancel culture. What's going on at places like Harvard, where they're trying to rescind the degrees of students who have supported President Trump or worked in his administration. And people say, well, you don't have anything to worry about because it's not the government that's doing it. You're too young to know this, but when I was growing up, there was something called Red Channels. It was a private censorship organization that simply listed the names of every actor who appeared on television, who they believed, without any due process, belonged to a communist organization, fellow travelers, socialists, pinkos, you name it. And all of those actors suddenly lost their jobs. And we're seeing that today as well. We're seeing efforts to try to unemploy people who worked in the administration of President Trump. I didn't. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm a liberal Democrat. But there was a petition to remove my emeritus professorship status because I defended the president on the floor of the Senate in violation of his constitutional rights. So we're seeing the private sector being used today to create cancel culture? And what do you think Rumble can do to fight back against that?
Well, I think, you know, with the three or four companies controlling all the big tech companies controlling everything, it's very difficult right now when it comes to a lot of this stuff. But the one thing that we're trying to do as a platform is just giving everybody a voice to be able to talk about what they think is right and what's wrong, however you feel about it. If you feel cancel culture is good, you can do that on Rumble. If you feel like you're against it, you can do that on Rumble. We're not, the key here goes all, it keeps going back to, and I think this is so much bigger than the free speech component, and it's more about the censorship component, is that the key is we're not tilting the scales to have, you know, cancel culture be more prevalent, like users that are speaking about cancel culture be more prevalent on the platform. We're not tilting it the opposite way. We're giving a free opportunity for people to basically find what they want to find without tilting the scales. And from there, if you create a nice balanced system that's free and fair, and you stick to that, then, you know, I honestly think the best ideals will win at the end of the day. But if you tilt the scales, regardless of what you believe in, then you get into very tricky areas, because you might think cancel culture is 90% of the population when really it's not. You might think that 90% of the population doesn't like cancel culture when really it's not. You don't really know, because everything's tilted and it seems like certain things are happening when certain things aren't. So it's scary because these platforms are tilting things and you don't know which way they're tilting it.
Let me challenge you. You say that in the end, the truth will prevail, or the better ideas will prevail in the marketplace of ideas. You're not alone. John Stuart Mill said that. Thomas Jefferson said that. I'm not sure any of you are right. I wouldn't bet on the best ideas always prevailing. The best ideas didn't prevail in Italy in the 1920s and 30s. The best ideas didn't prevail in Germany. The best ideas didn't prevail in the Soviet Union. The best ideas aren't prevailing in Iran and in China today. And even in a free and open society, the best ideas aren't prevailing. Look at how many people marched on the Capitol wearing neo-Nazi, racist, and other shirts. So I'm going to ask you a direct challenge. What if it turned out you're wrong? What if it turned out the best ideas don't prevail and actually some of the worst ideas prevail? Do you still think free speech has the dominant role, even if it ends up losing good ideas in the marketplace? That is free speech an end in and of itself in a democratic and open society? Or is free speech only the best means toward coming to the best ideas? Now, what you said earlier is you don't want to ban science because, you know, science may end up being right. But what if it turns out to be wrong? So my challenge to you directly is free speech an end of itself, or is free speech only a means toward an end? And if it's only a means toward an end, then we have an empirical question. Does it really promote the best truth, or doesn't it? Hard question.
It's a great question. It's a very difficult one. But, you know, I'm going to go back to tilting here, because places like Iran, where ideas, you know, may not be great or not great, it's because it's tilted. It's exactly tilted. In the 20s and 30s, the media is tilted. There's not a fair system. So where all the examples you named are because the system's tilted. It's not a free platform. It's not an open platform where everybody can speak and do the right things. So all those examples, let me challenge you
there. In the 19 late 20s in Weimar Germany, there was a relatively free platform, and most, or put it this way, more Germans voted for Hitler than voted for any other party. He only got 32% of the vote. But if he had run again in a fair and open election in 1936, if he had run again, and free and complete debate, open debate, I think he would have won. I think the vast majority of Germans agreed with Hitler and supported Hitler. There's a good book about that called Hitler's Willing Executioners. I don't know whether that's true in Italy or not, or in Spain with Franco, but you can imagine a situation where you have a free and open society and yet horrible racist, white supremacist, supranationalist ideas prevail. How do you deal with that intellectually and morally?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert like you are when it comes to this topic, so I'm not going to.
But you're an expert on freedom and freedom of speech. So I really want to hear your views.
Well, you know, I still really believe that the way things like that happen are, and I'm like I said, I'm not a historian, and I don't want to pretend to be a historian, but I do believe things are tilted in certain ways, and you might not see it. And the way you don't see it on YouTube today is a perfect example. You put your videos up there and you don't see that it's tilted. It's hidden. Mm-hmm. It's gone.
Yeah,
it's
no, you're right.
Visible. And so
And we don't have to reach my question because we're not there. We're not in the completely free. But you believe with Martin Luther King that the arc of justice ultimately leads in the right direction. You know, it's very optimistic. In Israel, they have a very good definitions of pessimism and optimism. A pessimist is one who says, oy vey, things are so bad they can't get worse. An optimist says, yes, they can. So, you know, things can get worse. But you're an optimist. You think the arc of justice ultimately points in the right direction, that freedom of speech will lead us toward good results, that scientific innovation will lead us toward all of these good consequences. But, you know, science has been wrong. The eugenics movement in the 1920s produced mandatory sterilization of American citizens. So the marketplace doesn't always work. And I think the hard question that many free speech advocates don't face, and we're debating it on this show, is whether free speech is an end in and of itself, even if it leads to bad results. My view is yes. You don't think you have to answer that question because you think it will always lead to good results. And I'm being the law professor and you the student here, and that's probably a little unfair by asking you the hypothetical, but what if? What if it led to bad results? So it's an interesting debate. We'll never resolve it. But I always find it too simple when Mill and Jefferson and others assume that it's an easy case because it will always lead to the right results. I think sometimes it won't. So yeah, what's your future? Where do you go from here? Are you going to be banned? Are you going to be taken off Amazon? Are you going to be taken off the cloud? Or are they going to come after you? And if so, how do we help you? How do we defend you?
You know, there's been a lot of developments with, you know, Parler and Amazon. I do believe that we're significantly different than Parler. I wouldn't put us in the same bucket. We've been around for a very long time. We started in 2013. We've had no issues since we've started. That's one of the things that I want to continue to do is just make sure that we run the platform the way we always have. And just with the principles and morals that we have. And if someone comes after us, you know, I guess.
Call me. I'm there for you.
There you go. It would be a sad day because, like, I don't think it would be fair. And especially after, you know, 7 years of great history here, building it up. Yeah. We're not, you know, this is what's happened in the last, you know, couple of weeks is that's not. It's quite sad to see like Amazon shut down, you know, other sites and stuff like that. So it's an odd time. I don't believe that will happen to us. I believe we're much different. I think we're much stricter on our policies and a lot stronger with our policies and a lot stronger with our moderation. So I hope to stay ahead of that. And I hope you're right.
I hope you're right. You know, you say it's a sad day. Anytime anybody has to call me, it's a sad day. That's what I do professionally. I deal with sad days, whether it's a sad day for the president of the United States or a sad day for a media platform. People don't call me to say, hey, I've just had a great day. I've just had a wonderful time. And let me ask you this question, final question, because we have to wrap up. If you get a phone call today, hey, Chris, this is Donald. I'm calling from the White House. I'm, you know, about to leave. Twitter won't let me on. Will you allow me to use Rumble to promote my views? I know you may not agree with my views, but would you allow me on? What's your answer to President Trump?
We do not discriminate. Of course, you can come onto our platform. We're not going to discriminate against somebody to come and join our platform. I think that would be horrible. And plus, he's still on YouTube right now too. So, but even if he's removed in 2 weeks or not, he can come onto our platform. We do not discriminate against anyone. And if they violate our policies, that's a different story. But as long as you stay within the policies and within our terms and conditions, then you're welcome onto our platform.
Hey, look, I really want to congratulate you. You're performing an enormous service, and you're really expanding the scope and power of freedom of speech at a time when everybody seems to be running from freedom of speech and trying to find any excuse and justification for restricting, censoring, limiting freedom of speech. So welcome to the First Amendment Club. You're a charter member. And I hope to continue to be on your platform. Thank you for hosting me, and thank you for appearing on the Durr Show. I think you've really helped to educate viewers and listeners, and I know lots of people will be interested not only in hearing what you have to say, but in supporting your venture and supporting your efforts and in expanding the First Amendment and fighting back against not only censorship, but constraints on the culture of freedom of speech. So, Chris, may you go from strength to strength and continue your great work. And I admire you enormously. Now we have a special surprise for you. Remember we talked about Rumble Wits, that is the wits that finishes the Durr Show, but focusing specially on people who get the show on the Rumble platform. So we have some questions from Rumblewits viewers and listeners, and we're going to let Chris read those questions as the representative of Rumble, and then I can answer them, and Chris, you can join in and answer them as well. So, Chris, what's the first question?
All right. Well, first of all, I didn't pick these questions, so if something comes up over here, let's blame the producer that picked them, not me. The first question is by Sylvie Pappas. I would like to know if the Senate can impeach the president after he is out of office and if they can stop him from running again.
What a great question. And the answer in my mind, I know there are some zealous partisan people who call themselves constitutional scholars who say the answer is yes. The answer is clearly no. The Constitution provides that impeachment is to remove a sitting president and other office holders. That's the function of impeachment. If you can try an ordinary citizen like me or you or any of you, then it becomes a bill of attainder, which is prohibited by the Constitution. The Constitution forbids the legislature from having trials against particular individuals for purposes of denying them a future job. And that's exactly what impeachment and a trial for a former president would be. Can anybody imagine impeaching now President Obama? Or take the worst case, let's assume a vibrant Democratic candidate comes along who is looking like he or she might win the next election. And a Republican-controlled Congress says, you know, we don't like this candidate. He or she has never run for office before, but let's impeach him now. Or what if the Democrats had said, let's impeach Trump in 2015 when he was beginning his run for president. It's so dangerous to give Congress the power to try people who are not currently office holders, and that's why the Constitution forbids that. And any scholar who tells you that the Constitution would and should permit a trial of a former president is wrong. Look, we had one experience. Congress did make a mistake back in the 1870s. They did impeach and try, they acquitted, but they impeached and tried the former Secretary of War. And by the way, the reason he was acquitted is that 23 senators believed that there was no jurisdiction to try a former cabinet member. So I think the answer is very clear. And Chris, since this was a constitutional law question, why don't we just turn to the next question? I will invite you to help answer questions when they involve the media and other things that are well within your expertise. So, Chris, what's the next question?
All right. It's by Gradle. It's really, really obvious and simple. Once President Trump joined Parler, They asked him to remove him, and when Parler refused, they took them down. Rumble, Gab, and others are still functioning because the president hasn't joined.
Okay, so that's a question for you, really. You're now saying you would allow the president to join. Are you afraid of being taken down?
So it's my understanding that he never actually joined Parler. He never officially joined Parler, so he wasn't. That's not why Parler was taken down. Now, I could be wrong. I can't speak for them specifically, but that's my understanding. Whether or not Trump comes to Rumble and whether we'd be taken down from that, that would be extremely hypocritical by Google because they still have him on YouTube. So I don't believe that would be the case as well, because if he's on YouTube and they take Rumble down, that's a, you know, we already filed an antitrust claim against Google this week. So that wouldn't look too good if they did that.
That's a great answer, and I think you're right. Let's see if President Trump comes on Rumble. That would be very interesting. What's the next question?
So when, by Boomchild, so when are the calls to censure or removal from public office going to come for those in our legislature that condoned the riots in cities across this nation by stating they were peaceful protests?
Well, you know, this is an example of the shoe on the other foot. People are saying, well, why are the Democrats protesting so much about what happened in the Capitol? Where were they when there were attempts to take over the Michigan State House or the Oregon this or the Washington State this? Everybody fails the shoe on the other foot test. Protests that they like are called lawful protests. Protests that they don't like are called unlawful. Look, the Capitol invasion, there's no doubt about that. It was clearly unlawful. It was not terrorism. You want to know what terrorism? Go to Israel and see what happens when 32 school children are murdered in cold blood or an airplane is blown up in midair. Don't call it terrorism. It wasn't that. It wasn't an insurrection. It wasn't a revolution. It wasn't sedition. It was a violent riot and illegal, and the people who did it should be seriously, seriously punished. The same is true for anybody who conducted illegal actions during Black Lives Matter protests or other left-wing protests. We have to have the same standards of law enforcement, no matter who is doing it. And Rumble does that by having the same standards for the left and the right and the center. Am I correct, Chris?
That's absolutely correct. There's no tilting of the scales at Rumble.
Next question.
So Hidden Glade asks, didn't Schumer stand in front of the Supreme Court and shout at Gorsuch and Kavanaugh? Didn't he threaten them? Where's the outrage from the left? Conspicuously absent.
Well, I think there ought to be outrage at the double standard. I approve of Schumer standing up in front of the Supreme Court and complaining about justice. That's your right. That's your freedom. Should he have done it? He's a lawyer. I think the language he used, and there were some implicitly threatening words, seemed beyond what he should have said. But he had the right to do it. And so I don't want to cut back on Schumer's rights because they've cut back on the rights of Trump and others. I want to expand everyone's rights, and that's what Rumble does. So what's the next question?
By Paul Lacroix. Why are you a Democrat, Alan? Come on, man.
I'm a Democrat because I can't be a Republican. I can't support restrictions on a couple's right to marry if they're gay. I can't impose restrictions on a woman's right to choose an abortion. I support equitable taxation, health care, environmental control, separation of church and state, reasonable gun control, though I agree the Second Amendment provides such a right. So I'm a liberal. If I were living in Great Britain, where the Conservative Party supports gay marriage, opposes the death penalty, supports abortion rights, and all the other liberal agenda, I would be a conservative in England, but I can't be a Republican. I can't support the death penalty. I can't support many of the aspects of the Republican Party. I'm having trouble with the Democrats. If the Democrat Party were ruled by AOC or any other radical people on the left, I couldn't stay. I threatened to quit the Democratic Party when they were considering making their chairman somebody who had close associations with Farrakhan. I'm worried about Kristen Clark, who's now been appointed or nominated to be the assistant attorney general, who has a history of black supremacy, anti-Semitism, and other bigotry. So I'm not uncritical of the Democrats. I just support their platform more than I support the platform of the Republican Party. Next question.
By Harley Deal. You may very well be the only sane Democrat left.
Well, I hope there are more. I think there's a sane Democrat who's about to take over the Oval Office, Joe Biden. I've known Joe Biden for a long time. I first met him, I think, during Ted Kennedy's presidential campaign that I was deeply involved in. Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy were very close friends. I was introduced to Joe Biden by Ted Kennedy. When my grandson got into Harvard College, Joe sent him a congratulatory video. I like Joe Biden. I think he is a centrist. I think he is very, very sane, sober, and neutral. And I'm looking forward to him conducting a great presidency. I think it would be a terrible mistake for him to begin his presidency with an impeachment and removal trial in the Senate instead of trying to get his agenda done. So, yeah, there are sane Democrats, and there are some that probably don't quite qualify for that, although I don't like to use medical terms. There are Democrats who are wrong. There are Democrats who are extreme, and I oppose them as strongly as I oppose extremists on the right. Final question.
Yeah, final question, Voodoo Vinny. Nancy Pelosi should not be just impeached. She needs to be arrested for actual sedition and treason charges for attempting to persuade the military leaders of the Pentagon to disobey the President of the United States.
You see, I think this is as bad as what the people on the left and Democrats are doing. The answer is not to arrest people. The answer is not to impeach people. The answer is not to create crimes and to look for crimes. Remember, it was Lavrenti Beria, the head of the KGB, who told Stalin, the horrible dictator of the Soviet Union, he said to him, show me the man and I'll find you the crime. There are too many people on both sides. Show me the man or the woman. In this case, it's Pelosi. We'll figure out crimes that we can charge you with. Show me the man, Trump. We'll figure out crimes that we can charge him with. That's not the right way. I want to decriminalize. I want to de-weaponize. I want to reduce the number of people who are charged with crimes. I want to reduce the number of people who are being impeached. I think impeachment has become a normal part of our our political system. And that's exactly what Alexander Hamilton didn't want. So, hey, these are great, great Rumblewitz questions. And it's such a pleasure to converse with the people on Rumble. And then, Chris, you have a question.
Yeah, I have one question because of so there was a filing this week, an injunction, a TRO from Parler to Amazon to restore Parler's servers so they can get back online. And that I think the judgment comes down today or tomorrow on the injunction. Which way do you think that's going to lean? Do they have a case?
It's very hard. Getting injunctions are very hard, particularly this would be a preliminary injunction, an injunction before a trial. And even if the ruling is against the preliminary injunction, that doesn't mean that ultimately an injunction can't prevail. It would depend on the law of contracts, the law of antitrust, not First Amendment law. And so I don't know. I haven't read the pleadings. I don't know whether it will win or lose, but I can tell you that preliminary injunctions are very hard. And this one might argue, if I were arguing the case against Parler, I would say this is a restraint on free speech, a preliminary injunction that restrains free speech because the defendant also has free speech. So it's very complicated, and I wouldn't even begin to make a prediction. I know what side my heart is on, but I don't know what side my brain is on. So we're going to have to wait and see. We live in interesting times. We're seeing in this generation some of the greatest challenges to not only the First Amendment, but the First Amendment culture and the First Amendment as a metaphor for the open marketplace of ideas. And so I want to end today's Dirt Show again by thanking Rumble, thanking Chris for creating Rumble. You are a great pioneer in the Internet and a great, great supporter of the First Amendment. And I'm proud to be on your platform. And thank you for coming on The Dirt Show. You're welcome anytime. And do you have any closing words for my listeners on The Dirt Show?
Well, thank you so much for having me. Like I said, it's an honor. I've been following you for quite some time, and actually, I've been following you since I was a child, I guess, when I think about it. So it's just been an honor to be on the show and to be able to have this conversation with one of the smartest minds on constitutional law. So thank you for having me.
And for me, it's so great to see young people who support freedom of speech and the First Amendment, because I'm very much worried about the current generation and their lack of sympathy and support for the First Amendment. So thank you again. It's great having you on the show. Hope to have you some other time, and keep doing great things. That's
Thank you.
all for today's Dirst Show, and I hope you'll continue to watch and listen to me on Rumble and other platforms. An important part of the Dirst Show is your voice, your questions, your comments. Please call 24/7. The number is 216-710-0050. Keep your comments short and to the point. Again, the number for you to call 24/7 is 216-710-0050. Hard questions, criticisms, everything's fine. Just keep your questions short, and I'll answer them all on the Dirt Show.